And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper here, along with Bonnie Berman. Finally, Thursday's food and dining extravaganza has arrived. I'm joined by my friend, chef, author, and syndicated columnist, Linda Gassenheimer. Linda, there's gourmet mac and cheese here for us. Who can ask for more than that with truffles?
It's the aroma. It's all over the studio. It is just amazing. But now while everyone's drooling, have you noticed how many big-name chefs have opened restaurants in South Florida? And sometimes they're a great success, and other times they disappear.
Sometimes mysteriously.
Right.
They even have good locations, and they have great food, but...
But they're gone. I mean, look at Emeralds at the Lowe's. Mm-hmm. He's gone.
Danny DeVito.
Right. Gone. So what are the secrets to a top-quality restaurant? And our guests have some answers for us. Gustavo Reck is the general manager of the celebrity chef Michael Minas Bourbon Steak at Turnberry Isle. And welcome, Gustavo.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And joining us later will be David Varley. He's Michael Mina's corporate chef at the Mina Group of Restaurants. And we'll welcome him as soon as we have him on air. And also joining us, welcoming him, our favorite wine columnist, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. And he writes the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column. And you can read Fred's column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Oh, man, we're talking about red meat and red wine, my favorite topic.
Mm-hmm. What about the mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that, too. Don't worry. there you need comfort wine.
Okay. I can guess what that is. We'll find out later. We'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What makes a successful restaurant? Do you have any suggestions or questions? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN.
Our email is radio@WLRN.org.
Okay. So I got a call or an email, actually, from a listener. And I asked, you know, what's your pet peeve in a restaurant? And here's the answer. Number one, service. Number two, bad food. Number three, she said, the best restaurants are those that make the customer feel special.
Number four, loud music.
Right. Okay. Absolutely.
That sounds like a personal problem, Joe.
I think so, friend.
And she says, I find it very surprising that I can't find a restaurant to go back to. Well, with that introduction, Gustavo, let's solve her problems. Tell me something. You're general manager of Bourbon Steak. What do you do to create a fascinating vibe there?
Well, I think the first thing that we do at the restaurant, and the Mina Group backs us up at everything we do when it comes to training, it's the most important thing in the restaurant. I mean, a knowledgeable staff, it's a confident staff. And I think that's what people want when they come to the restaurant. Also, recognition. It's a big one. We know everybody that comes to the restaurant. When we go into our pre-shift, so it lasts about half an hour every day, we know who's coming. We know what they like. We know what they don't like, which is more important.
How do you do that?
Well, we gather information throughout the time. You know, first time they come in, if we say, I hate garlic, well, that's going to go in the notes at the reservation. Next time they come in, we're going to ask the guy before he even says, would you like your meal without garlic today?
See, and you make them feel comfortable and at home. And, you know, in today's world, a computerized world and service, there's no excuse not to.
Absolutely.
Now, you say to me the staff is so important, and you train your staff. So how do you find good staff?
Well, that's a difficult one. But we definitely don't stereotype who we're looking for, but we're looking for hungry people that want to learn more, that not necessarily know everything, but are definitely willing to keep learning.
So they didn't have to have experience?
Some, absolutely. We're always looking for some experience. In a restaurant of our caliber, you're always looking for some experience. But more important than that, we're looking for people that are willing to learn still.
So when you, because we get so many people, not so many, we get a few people who call in and say, you know, how can I get in the hospitality business? What do I have to do? So what's your advice?
Well, you got to love it first. You can't do it if you don't love it. That's the first thing. If you do it for the money, you definitely do it for the wrong reasons in there. But to get in, you got to get your feet wet somehow. And I started as a dishwasher. And I made my way to a cook and a server and a bartender and assistant manager and a general manager today. You just got to be eager and be a go-getter.
So, and you have to put in your time.
You have to put in your time.
You can't, I mean, we get so many young people out of culinary school and they think they're going to be a star immediately.
Well, yeah, we wish it happened that way, but it doesn't.
When you first go into a restaurant, not your own, what's the first thing you look for? I mean, an excellent restaurant. What's the first thing you look for to indicate quality?
Cleanliness. I think that's the first thing I look at it. I look into the floors. I make sure it's clean. I make sure the place looks clean. The staff looks neat. I look at their nails, see if they're done properly. I think I'm a clean freak. So in my restaurant, I lead that way. I make sure that my staff understands if there's a piece of paper on the floor, it's your responsibility to pick it up. It's my responsibility to pick it up. Everybody. It's just not, oh, the server assistant will pick it up. No, everybody's job is to keep the place clean.
So if things aren't up to par in that area, you know there's going to be difficulties down the road.
Yeah. As you go to the kitchen, you're just going to see that trend happening again.
Well, if the restaurant's not clean, you can only imagine
how the kitchen will look like. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's interesting. So tell me something. Food, of course, is important, as this person wrote in. Bad food. So you brought here this truffle mac and cheese from a steak restaurant. Tell us about it.
Well, it's one of our signatures, truffle mac and cheese. You can't go wrong. You have white cheddar, Parmesan cheese, blue cheese mixed with the velouté, perigold black truffles on it. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
It has some broccoli in it, too.
And it has broccoli, absolutely. But I missed that part. I missed the healthy part of it.
Okay, right, right. But it's hidden, so don't worry about it. It's not too healthy.
We can make without it.
So do you... So you use real truffles, not just truffle oil?
No, we use real truffles. Yeah, we shave perigold truffles on it. Yes.
It's a wonderful, wonderful aroma.
What's the price of truffles these days?
Ask Gustavo.
Perigold truffles are not that expensive. Now, if you go for white Alba truffles, then we had an event in the restaurant. We bought like a pound, and it was about $2,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, well, the perigold must be close. How much?
No, they're not that expensive. $50
a pound?
Yeah.
That isn't too bad.
No, it isn't
too bad.
There's
a lot of truffles in a pound.
No, we do put a lot of truffles in our dishes. I mean, when they're in season, of course.
Well, you have a truffle French fried potatoes.
Those are delicious.
Yes, you put those on the table and the rest of the meal, forget it. that's something else. So that recipe sounds wonderful. Will you send it to us and we can put it up on
absolutely.
The web?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll email it to you as soon as possible.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the mac and cheese was very comforting, Fred.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. And the idea of having truffles in it is just fabulous.
Now, we're still trying to get a hold of David Varley, who is the corporate chef for the MENA Group. Now, Gustavo, he makes the recipes. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, he gives ideas of things that he would like us to use. Let's say he's got a new fish, and he says, you know, can you create something with that? But he does give each chef the time to do it and do their own dish whichever way they would like it. So not necessarily we do something, we don't do anything corporate-wise. Even the signature dishes that we have on our menu, Chef Michael Mina says, you know, we have lobster pot pie. Would you carry on your restaurant? Absolutely. But you can do your own twist on it.
Oh, so he gives you the ideas for it. Because I was at another celebrity chef restaurant where the celebrity chef keeps such tight controls that he sends a book with photographs. An exact amount that must go into each recipe. And they have to stick to it, and they're checked quite often on that.
Well, every recipe that we do and we create, we send it to corporate for approval.
Oh, you
and
do?
And it gets approved by them, and then it comes back to the restaurant, and that's when we, you know, work on plating and how it's going to look like. But everything goes to corporate and then comes back to us again.
How important is it that the celebrity chef visits the restaurant often?
Very important. Very important. Well, one for PR. Let's get started with that. When he's around, there's always a lot of people that come to the restaurant, and it keeps everybody on their toes. I mean, you always.
Linda, I think I've heard you mention that you can tell when the chef is there and when it isn't there in a lot of restaurants because of the quality of the food.
Yes, absolutely. It makes a big difference.
But that shouldn't be, should it?
you're absolutely right about that. It shouldn't make a difference if it's that or not. And that's how we do a bourbon steak every day. It's game day. You know, there's no today we're going to cook a little less, tomorrow we're going to cook better. No, it's
what
consistency.
When, you know, the chef has a bad day, or he's not there, or there's a fight in the kitchen, or whatever.
Well, there's a lot of people in the kitchen that cook. So, I mean, the chef, basically, he does the final touches on the plate. He plates the food. He puts it together. And usually we run the kitchen with three chefs back there, just expediting.
So they all know.
So they all work together. Maybe if one is having a bad day, the other one will carry him over.
Is one of them the boss?
Michael Mean itself?
No, I mean, if you have three chefs, are they all equal, or is one of them supervising you?
There's one executive chef, one executive sous chef, and then a sous chef.
I see.
Okay, well, we're talking about what makes a successful restaurant with the general manager of the Bourbon Steak at Turnberry Isle, and that's Gustavo Reck. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about celebrity chef restaurants. We're also talking about why some restaurants fail and others succeed, and we've been getting some great advice and some information from Gustavo Reck. He's the general manager at Bourbon Steak, Michael Mina's Bourbon Steak at Turnberry Isle.
What's the most popular steak cut at the restaurant?
Definitely what we sell the most will be a filet mignon, and second will be a New York strip.
Oh. And how are they prepared? What separates you from the others?
Well, we butter poach our steaks.
Butter poach?
Yes.
Ooh.
Wait, butter?
Yes.
Butter poach? What does that mean?
Well, we use clarified butter, and the steaks stay in there for a little while before they actually go to the wood grill, which makes a lot of difference as well when you're cooking.
It stays in the butter over the heat?
No.
Just on its own?
We just keep the clarified butter at a certain temperature just to keep it the steaks in there for a certain time.
And then onto the grill.
And then onto the grill.
I'll have to try that
any
on my Weber kettle.
Any spices or garlic in the butter?
Oh, my God. Joe's on his way.
What, friend?
Any flavorings in the butter? Any garlic? Any spices?
We do use a few spices on, and we can exactly go and what they
proprietary.
Are.
Proprietary.
Exactly.
We'll get it out of you if we can.
Yeah, we'll try. Okay, so it's dinner in minutes time. And we've been talking about steak. In case you're drooling and you need a steak, here's a quick and easy steak for you. It's a juicy dinner, and this one won't break your calorie bank. It's mushroom pesto steak with a hot pepper potatoes.
That sounds good.
Let me tell you, it's really simple and easy. So thick sliced portobello mushrooms are the basis for the sauce. And what I've done to make it quick and easy is I buy a prepared pesto sauce and I saute some portobello mushrooms for just a few minutes. And then I chop them up in a food processor with the pesto sauce. So that makes it real simple and easy. And then in that same skillet where the mushrooms were, I saute the steak about a couple of minutes each side. Depends if you want it to be rare or not rare, 145 for medium rare. And then you just put the pesto sauce on top. Couldn't be easier. Really, really simple. And then hot pepper potatoes that take only a minute. I put them in the microwave. And then I brown them with a little garlic in that same skillet the steak came out of. So you cut up the potatoes, put them in the microwave, and then take the steak out and brown up the potatoes.
All that in 15 minutes?
Of course.
And well, what's the pepper?
There's hot pepper sauce on it. Sorry.
I didn't
tell you about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to put some hot pepper sauce on it. You know I don't like hot pepper sauce.
So you forgot it.
But everybody else does, so I've put it in for you, okay? The heat's up to you. And that whole recipe and a photograph is at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred, what are we drinking?
Oh, picture this, a 2-pound New York strip steak and a bottle of California Cabernet Sauvignon. It's one of the finest duets ever created.
I can see the smile on your face.
Better than Brad and Angelina. Oh. Better than Taylor Swift and, well, I guess I won't go there.
Well, he's into the pop
culture. Anyway, the reason
now
is that when you take a bite of steak and you chew it and you swallow it, it leaves your palate with a thin film of, let's face it, fat. beautiful, tasty fat, but it's still fat. So the logical next step is a sip of Cabernet Sauvignon, because it's a big, bold red wine that has bitter tannin and astringent acid that strip away the fat and leave the palate refreshed for the next bite.
So you're deglazing in your mouth.
Oh, that's very good. Then you take another bite and another sip and you know, rinse and repeat. Of course, not all steaks are created equal. As our guest was saying, a bite of filet mignon contains hardly any fat at all. So a Cabernet Sauvignon might actually be excessive, and you could probably sip something softer, even a Pinot Noir or something like that. And that, I think, is why real red meat fans prefer to pay half the price and get a good old ribeye steak. Because ribeyes have great marbling, which, of course, is a euphemism for lots of fat. And here's where you break out that big, powerful Cabernet Sauvignon. I know it sounds unhealthy, but I guess the saving grace is that researchers say powerful red wine makes your blood platelets slippery so the fat doesn't clog your arteries so much, although I'm not saying this is sufficient. Now, macaroni and cheese is another matter altogether. The reason it's considered a comfort food is that it's rich and creamy and soft and unctuous. I mean, you hardly even need to swallow or you need to chew it. So the main thing that it needs in a wine, of course, is something with crisp enough acids to cut through all that creaminess, which, again, is all that fat. This is good because it means that you can go with either a white wine or a red wine, depending on what you feel like drinking.
If you want something white, you could go with, guess what, Linda? I have a suspicion, Fred, yes. My suspicion is going to be
wine.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I mean, what's crisper with brighter acids than a bottle of bubbly?
Uh-huh, but I was right.
Yep. Of course, a comfort food doesn't require $100 French champagne. This would create discomfort in your wallet. So I think a nice $10 Spanish Cava style sparkling wine would be fine.
How about Prosecco, Fred?
That would be the same thing, yeah. Prosecco is inexpensive, and that would be an excellent thing to use. And, of course, if you prefer a red wine and you're looking for those crisp acids, you could go with an inexpensive Italian Chianti or even an Italian Barbera or something that has a little crisp acid to it. So it's a delicious way to go.
It sure is. Well, tell me, Gustavo Reck, at Bourbon Steak, what wines do you serve with these foods?
Well, we serve what guests want, but basically Cabernet Sauvignon is what we sell the most at the restaurant by far. It's definitely our big sellers. Also, we go into Rhone. We sell a lot of Rhone in there, Côte de Rhone from France. Italian wines and Spanish wines sell really, really well. Tempranillos do really well at the restaurant as well, Barolo. So big wines, they usually go really well with steaks.
Are you able to have some wines that have some age on them?
Absolutely.
You have a big wine wall there.
Yeah, we do. About 1,000 different bottles.
So there's something to choose from. But now, what's the price range? Because Fred and I have always talking about, you know, of course you expect to spend some money for the wine, but do you have something at the lower range?
Absolutely. We do have a page on our list called Secrets of the Sommelier, and we do range wines between $45 to $100, $125, and there's more than 30 wines in that page. Plus, you know, as you search throughout the other, you know, regions, you'll find wines at $50, $45. 70. Mm-hmm. So we have every category of wine when it comes to price. We go from the cheapest to some of the most expensive wines.
All right.
We won't go there.
Well, let's go back to something that Joe mentioned earlier in the program, and that's noise in the restaurant. It's so difficult because, as we mentioned, chefs want to have a vibe. They say that you need to have the vibe, you need to have the noise, people won't be happy. But people aren't happy if you... I mean, I've been at restaurants where the waiter can't even hear me, not let alone the people I'm with. So how do you... Because I know you have a vibe at Bourbon Steak, but how do you handle that?
Well, I think the first thing you want to, when you go out to have dinner, is you want a little bit of privacy. So we definitely give enough space in between tables so people can... You don't have to hear what whoever's next to you is saying. Also, we feel that the music at the restaurant should never be louder than what you were speaking. You should never have to speak louder than... If you want to sit down at the restaurant and have dinner, it's just if it's too noisy, then it's
And not heavy metal.
And not heavy metal. But we do have a progressive playlist that, you know, goes up and down. And, you know, it's, sometimes you get 80s, you get 90s, even some new thing from the 2000s as well. But nothing too heavy, absolutely not.
Often it's the acoustics I find in restaurants that make for so
hardwood
much
floors.
And open ceiling and where the sound is just bouncing around.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I noticed that you, at your restaurant, although it's big, it's expansive, it doesn't feel that way because it's kind of in little pods, which is probably a good idea.
Well, when you dim the lights at night and you have all the effects from the mirrors or from the lights, it feels really welcoming and warm inside of the restaurant. That was the idea of Tony Chi when he actually created the restaurant, was to kind of give a fire impression as you have those lights and you're looking at the mirrors.
Right. Now, one more point before we leave. I know that Michael Mina is opening a restaurant at the Fountain Flow. He has a smile on his face, and his lips are closed, Gustavo.
Well,
yes?
We hear things. I don't think there's anything signed yet, but definitely there has been conversations, and hopefully he will get one restaurant,
right.
And that I think will be great for him and for everybody else in the city. He has great restaurants.
All right. Okay. Well, it's been a very, very tasty week.
Indeed.
Gustavo Reck, General Manager of Bourbon Steak at Turnberry Isle, thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure to be here.
And the recipe today is at dinnerandminutes.com.
It will be. He's going to send it to me. Yes.
Thank you, Gustavo.
Thank you.
Yes. And that food's wonderful. And Fred Tasker, wine columnist. Great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joe Cooper and Bonnie. Boy, you really ate well today.
That mac and cheese. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, next week, we're going to be talking about Veritage, a new name for the United Way Gala and Royal Caribbean Chair. Richard Fain is going to be with us. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join us then.